Today is Wednesday, March 3rd, 2010. I'm your host, Andrew Reitz, and I welcome you to Old Time Radio Daily Westerns, episode 116. On today's show, we have two, count them, two episodes of Challenge of the Yukon. But first, a word from our sponsor. Last week, you heard a trial run of a personal ad I ran for DreamTouchPhoto.com. This ad had a great response from the listeners, so I decided to open it up to other companies and individuals. Yes, this is taken from Adam Grab's podcast, but like most other podcasters, we use ideas from each other. So these are the basics. You're able to buy one ad spot on one show for $35, or one ad spot on seven shows for $150, with the option of adding an extra Western show of your choice during the week. For more information, check out the website by going to otrwesterns.com/sponsor. Again, that's otrwesterns.com/sponsor. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. Original air dates on these two episodes is November 27th, 1943, and December 4th, 1943. The titles are King Spot's Murder and Self-Defense or Murder. Seems like we got two murder episodes on today's show. So I'm going to play them back to back, and let's get right into it.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
Hunting! Can you hunting?
King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in preserving the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. Sergeant Preston was breaking camp early one morning, the icy cold of the North chilling his face. Suddenly, as he turned from the fire, he noticed King. The dog seemed to be listening intently, his nose in the air, every muscle momentarily tense. In spite of himself, the Mountie stood still, but the quiet of the Yukon seemed to him unbroken. It was then that King, a strange, savage growl in his throat, ran from the Mountie toward a line of pine trees.
King!
Well, he heard something, I'm sure of it.
But what?
Well, there's only one way to find out.
Go after him.
He stopped ahead there.
Well, what is it, fella? What's wrong? I don't see...
Well, so that's it. Looks like you chased someone out of here, King. Yes. Whoever it was, he's almost out of sight. But why? Why would King standing over by the campfire... But... That man's retracing his tracks. He came up to here and then stopped. Then walked over and stood here. He could see perfectly from here. And he must have been watching us when King sensed something wrong. King, old fella, I don't know what I'd do without you. But this is one time I'm stopped. He got away without me hearing him. I guess your bark's covered any noises he made. I couldn't even get a look at him. Why would anyone come up here, stand, and watch us? Was he intending to head back for Fort Munn? Or did you make up his mind for him, hmm? Well, since we're heading in his direction, maybe we'll just keep to those tracks.
Returning to his campsite, Sergeant Preston scattered the fire, preparing to follow the mysterious traveler who had aroused King. Once on the trail, the great dog covered distance quickly, keeping to the tracks cut clearly in the snow. But as they approached Fort Munn, the Mountie found that other tracks obscured those made by the stranger, and it was more and more difficult to separate one from another, till he was forced to admit the hopelessness of pursuing the man further.
It's not wrong for anyone to ride so far on a trail and then change his mind. Certainly there's no ground for suspicion there. Oh, King, all you huskies. Well, there's one thing you're sure of in Fort Munn. This cafe opens the first thing in the morning, and it's the last building to be darkened at night. Well, King, we're bound to find some news in here.
Sergeant Preston!
Molliver, hello there. How are you?
Mighty glad to see you, that's what I am.
Well, now, that's what I call a real welcome. What's wrong? You look like you've lost your claim or something.
Be truer if you'd say I look like I lost my best friend.
Your best friend?
Sergeant, when I found Mike dead yesterday, I prayed that you'd come to Fort Munn.
Mike?
They shot him in the back, dirty yellow skunks. He didn't have a chance. It was snowing when I found him. No tracks that I could make out.
Oh. He was murdered.
Yeah. If I knew who did it, Well, back where I come from, we have a name for men that shoot from ambush.
Where'd you find him?
Out near those two big rocks west of here.
Oh, yes, yes, I know the place.
He never did anybody any harm, Sergeant.
Oh, no, Oliver, wait a minute. Let's go over this slowly. Now, you say you found him.
Yes. Yes, I found him.
What reason would anyone have for killing Mike? Unless...
somebody could have killed him for his gold. That's what everybody here in town thinks.
And you?
Well, I guess that must be it. Fred Johnson said Mike drew out every bit of the dust he had in the bank.
Hmm.
You can't argue with a banker.
You mean you'd have an argument to give Fred about that?
Oh, it's not that. But you see, Mike never came to town without stopping to see me.
Yes, yes, I know.
According to Fred, Mike drew out his dust and then headed back toward his claim. If I didn't know he went to the bank, I'd say he was shot on his way into town.
I see.
But I don't know. I'm just glad you're here, Sergeant, because I want to see the man that murdered Mike hang. And the sooner he does, the easier I'll rest.
I can't promise you how soon he'll be brought to justice. But he will be. You didn't find any of the dust on him?
Not a trace of it. Even the poke he carried with him was gone. Oh, here I'm keeping you out in the cold. I guess you're going into the cafe.
Well, I thought I'd find some news by going in talking to the boys. But we've had enough news for a while. Hmm, King?
Hey, that's funny. Look at King. He's watching Fred and that man with him.
You don't know who he is?
No.
Well, Sergeant Preston.
Hey, what's that big yapping for? Quiet, King. Quiet, boy. Yeah, that's better, boy. How are you, Fred?
Fine. Hello, Oliver.
Fred.
Going inside?
Why, yes, yes, we're going in. How about it, Oliver?
Well, I'm sure not going in to celebrate anything.
Yeah, still feel pretty bad about Mike Oliver, huh? I don't blame you. We all do. Oh, excuse me a minute. I see Joe Higgins over there. I want to talk to him.
Here, go ahead, Fred.
I wondered if he'd introduce his friend.
Friend? Maybe he thought you knew him.
Well, hardly. If I did, I'd have spoken to him. No. No, I don't know him. But King here does.
Sergeant Preston watched the two men make their way through the room. His face was thoughtful as he noticed the banker speak for a moment to Joe Higgins at the far end of the bar. Then the two walked to a table in the corner. The man looked over his shoulder quickly as if to make sure no one was listening before he spoke.
That's the one. I told you I saw him, Monty.
You told me you were ready to drop him when that dog started for you.
That dog. I should have dropped him.
Why didn't you?
Because when that mutt started coming at me, that policeman was right behind him with a gun in his hand.
You could have stopped them both.
Not the way that dog was coming, I couldn't. I came back here to warn you.
Warn me? Listen, we're in the clear.
Yeah. But that Mountie was talking to the friend of the prospectors.
What difference does that make? Oliver doesn't suspect a thing. You're new here. You just came in from the States, see?
Just so long as you don't say where in the States.
You're safe here.
I got my fellow looking out from behind bars, Johnson. So you better handle this right.
If you keep your mouth shut and don't run from every loose lead dog in the Yukon, we won't have anything to worry about.
I ain't running from any dog. But Preston's one Mountie I'd only aim to cross.
Preston's like all the rest of them. If you're smart, you stay with me and you'll clean up enough to leave this country a rich man.
I always wondered how bankers got their money.
It's an easier way to get gold than digging for it.
So he talked to Oliver. Sergeant Preston watched the two men at the far end of the room closely.
King here looks like he's waiting for something.
He's just given me an idea, Oliver.
How can a dog... Well,
King and I work together. He's been right every time he's ever started after something.
Well, they do say a dog's got a sixth sense.
Well, I don't know whether it's a sixth sense or not, but if that's what they call it, I won't disagree.
Where are you going?
I just want to talk to Fred.
Oh.
We thought we'd join you, Fred.
Sure. Pull up a chair.
Here, I'll take that one, Sergeant.
You're a stranger in Fort Mon, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. You and the sergeant don't know each other, Slim. Sergeant, this is Slim West. Slim, Sergeant Preston.
Hi.
How do you do? Staying with Fred, Slim?
Yes, he's staying with me for a while. That is, until he gets staked out on his own.
Well, it's mighty nice of you to help him out.
Oh, it isn't as if we were strangers. Say, what do you two have?
Forget about me, Fred. I'm not drinking.
Nor am I. You go right ahead and order.
Well, if you're sure you don't want anything. Two specials, fine.
Oliver told me about Mike.
Yes, that was a shame. Mike was one of the... Well, I guess you could call him one of the finest men here in Fort Mon.
I understand he drew his dust out of the bank a short time before he was murdered.
Yes, sir, he did. And I told him it was very unwise. You know how Mike was, headstrong. You couldn't tell him anything once he made up his mind. Do you think you'll catch the murderer, Sergeant? Everyone knows he was robbed, killed for his gold.
Sometimes takes quite a while to bring a killer to justice.
You've got a sizable job in your hands. Kind of the snowstorm, there were no tracks. Ah, here come the drinks, Slim.
Here you are, gents.
There, that's it, Clem. I'll take care of it, Slim. Let's see.
It seems as if the cafe's nearly empty. I guess you'll be getting back to the bank, Fred, huh?
Can't be away too long. There you are, Clem.
Yes, thanks.
Would you mind if I look at that poke, Fred?
This poke?
Yes, I thought I saw some initials on it.
No. You imagine things, Sergeant. I've never had my initials on this.
Don't put it away, Fred. I asked to see it.
I'm not putting it away.
A gun.
I was reaching
for it. Fred,
if it's your poke, let's see it.
It's not my poke.
That's what I thought.
You know, Fred, you can't
do
that.
So, I'll hand it to you. You noticed something I overlooked. I forgot about initials on that poke.
What's this all about?
It's all about how Mike was murdered, Oliver.
What?
Yes, murdered. You were right. He probably didn't go to the bank. He didn't get that far.
That's about as far as you'll get, Monty.
He couldn't have drawn out dust that wasn't there.
Go on. Let them hear how much you know about it. You won't live to tell anyone else.
Fred, please. I don't know nothing about this.
You stay where you are. Maybe you'd like to hear the sergeant tell his story of how I killed Mike Gallagher. And when he finishes, I can tell you what will happen.
I can't believe it.
I'll put this gun in my pocket, and you'll all walk in front of me out of here.
Then you'll be found like Mike was found.
You won't get away with it, Fred.
That's what you think.
We'll be seen leaving here with you.
And by the time you're found, I'll be well on my way to Skagway in a boat out of here. No, Marty, it's no use. You're taking orders from me.
That mutt.
All right, King, get aboard.
I'll get him.
Out of the way. Clear away.
Stop me. I got the gun. King knocked it right out of his hand.
Wait! This dog, get him away from me!
All right, King. All right, boy. Well, I'll put these handcuffs on you, Fred, just so you won't reach for a gun again.
Slim, I guess you'll have to carry Slim. That was a real sock you gave him, Sergeant. But I never saw anything like King. Talk about sixth sense.
Well, King's responsible for catching these murderers, Oliver. Slim must have been leaving Fort Mon this morning when he saw me breaking camp, getting ready to come through. He wanted to warn Fred, so he came back here. How King knew he was watching or what his intentions were, I don't know. But when we met Fred and Slim outside the cafe, he started growling.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that was when I began wondering.
I wondered why Slim would warn Fred a policeman was headed this way until I remembered Oliver saying he suspected Mike hadn't been to the bank. It would be simple enough for Fred to make it seem that Mike had drawn out his dust, when in reality he'd been stealing it.
And when you saw the initials on the poke?
I said I thought I saw some initials on it.
What? You mean there aren't any initials?
Well, you'll have to look to see. Fred wasn't sure either. He just knew he was carrying around Mike's poke of gold, and his conscience did the rest.
Well, I'll be doggone.
Yes, King, the case is closed.
Upholding the motto of the Northwest Mounted Police, Sergeant Preston and the great dog King maintain the right and get their man. Don't miss their next thrilling adventure when they meet the challenge of the Yukon once again on Saturday at the same time.
All King of New Husky!
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ, Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
I'm King, the new Husky!
King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in preserving the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. The Palace Café in Dauphin was always crowded. Men who weren't standing at the bar or sitting around tables talking were in the back rooms, concentrating on poker games. But in Max Watkins' office, there was another kind of concentration, as Max and his three hirelings faced Joe Merrill.
I don't mind losing money in an honest poker game, but there was five aces in that deck.
You're wrong, Joe. How about it, Pete?
Sure he's wrong. I tell you, boss, that game was straight.
You see, Joe, Pete here says the game was straight.
It does. I guess he's getting a cut of that $35,000 I lost before I got my eyes open. Maybe that's why he's so sure the game was straight.
I wouldn't make so much noise about it if I were you.
Well, you low-down crooks, the whole pack of you are painted with the same yellow. I ain't the only one that's dropped money like that. And I ain't the only one saying you're crooked. A lot of us have the same idea. Only this time I make it my business to see you run out of town.
You can't prove a thing and you know it. We're playing with Pete, Sam, and Bart here. Three men's word against one. You won't have a chance.
Oh, we'll see what kind of a chance I'll have. I'm going out now.
No, you don't. You're not going anywhere.
You... Hey, boss.
I might have known you pulled a gun, Watkins.
We should have looked for it sooner then.
Better make sure he won't live to talk, boss.
He won't talk. He's past that now. Hurry, Pete. Put your gun in his hand.
Put my...
Don't stand there, you fool. Do as I tell you.
Yeah, sure.
In his hand?
Yeah. If any questions are asked, I'll do the talking, see?
Suddenly, the room was full. Miners crowded the doorway, stopping in their tracks as they saw Joe Merrill on the floor, clutching a gun in his hands.
I thought I heard a shot in here. What happened?
It was Pete. He had a shoot in self-defense.
Self-defense?
What do you mean, Max? What happened?
They were in a game of poker.
Hey, wait a minute. Here comes Sergeant Preston. Sergeant!
Hello there, Slim. Say, what's all the...
I'm mighty glad you got here, Sergeant.
Looks like I got here too late. Joe Merrill. How'd this happen, Max?
I was just telling the boys, Sergeant.
He says Pete did it in self-defense.
That's right. They were in a poker game.
Who?
Joe, Pete, Sam, and Bart here. Joe had been losing pretty heavily, and he was in a bad humor, I guess.
Yes?
They got into an argument. Joe pulled a gun.
Is that true, Pete?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it happened.
He had a couple of drinks. Never thought anything like this would happen.
Is it customary for them to play poker in your office, Max?
Oh, no, they weren't playing in here.
Who was in the room besides Pete when Joe pulled the gun?
Sam and Bart and me. They'd all come in here.
Yeah, we thought maybe Max could quiet Joe down.
Pete started to tell me what had happened, and Joe accused him of lying.
I see. Lying about what?
He said that Pete owed him money.
Well, Pete, it's a good thing you've got witnesses.
Max told you just how it was, Sergeant.
He can tell it to a minor's jury at your trial.
At my trial? Hey, what is this?
You'll be tried for murder.
Early the next morning, Max Watkins was talking to Pete McCreary in his cell in the Dalton jail. The cafe owner spoke quietly, outlining his plan to Sergeant Preston's prisoner. But even as he spoke, the frown on Pete's face deepened.
You're trying to frame me?
Frame you? Use your head. What good would it do me to try that?
I ain't taking no murder rap for anybody, you understand? Not for anybody.
Never take that rap. Sam and Bart and me will swear we saw Merrill draw first.
Four of us are the only ones that know what went on.
That's just it. Well, you got a perfect story.
Well, what I don't get is why you shove the blame on me so fast.
Listen. Was I in on that poker game?
No.
That's why I talk so fast.
Huh?
The Monty knew Joe found out the game was crooked. He put that puzzle together in 2 minutes. If no, we killed him to shut his mouth.
How do you get that we killed him stuff? I don't care what the Monty knows or don't know. I don't like this.
Yeah, you don't have a thing to worry about. I'll tell you something, Pete. I was planning for us to clear out of here anyway.
You mean leave the Yukon?
Yeah, we cleaned up plenty here in Dalton. It's like Merrill said, they're beginning to get wise to us. As soon as this trial blows over, we'll strike out for Skagway and head for the States.
Yeah. Well, I just been thinking.
Now, what's wrong?
A lot of them miners on the jury.
Yeah, what about them?
I've cleaned them out in plenty of poker games. And they got long memories.
Oh, forget it. You're just nervous. As long as the four of us stand together in our stories, I'm telling you, you don't have anything to worry about. Just be sure you don't let that money twist you up when you get in front of him.
Yeah? Well, you remember this. That jury don't set me free, you're going to be the one to worry.
Sergeant Preston was walking slowly along Dalton's main street when he heard someone calling him.
Sergeant! Sergeant Preston!
Turning, he saw Whitey Burns hurrying toward him.
Hello there, Whitey. Hey, where have you been keeping yourself?
I've been working pretty hard. Hey, I just heard about Joe.
Yes, I got to the cafe shortly after it happened.
I wish I'd have been there. I'd have knocked that no-good skunk out so cold he'd have... Oh, well, ain't much good talking now. It's too late.
Who?
Pete. Joe sure wasn't fussy about his company when he picked them three for his game.
Well, I thought he always played with them.
Oh, he used to. That was before we all got wise.
Oh, wait a minute, Whitey. I just got into Dolphin yesterday. It's been quite some time since I've talked to any of you boys. What's this all about?
You ain't heard about the palace, then?
What about it? I thought you fellas all gathered there and got together for poker and some drinks.
It's the only cafe in town, that's why. You know, Watkins didn't always own it.
Yes, I know. He bought out Mac McDonald 10 months ago.
Yeah, and Mac went in for storekeeping.
What's that got to do with the palace and Max Watkins?
I was getting to that. Used to be a man could go there for a poker game and know he'd stand as much a chance of winning as he did of losing. Yeah, that was before Max and those three fellas working for him took over.
So Sam and Bart worked for him, too, huh?
Yeah. Took a while for us to see just how it worked out, but it all added up. Every time any of us got together for a game, one of those was always in on it. You can take it from me, not one of the four of them turned an honest card.
I see.
Out of money we lost. I don't blame Joe for drawing on Pete. Only thing that surprises me is that he was so slow pulling the trigger. What'd you say?
Oh, nothing. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, they all ought to hang. You got Pete?
Yes, he's in jail now. The trial's tomorrow.
Trial? A lot of good a trial will do.
Whitey, I have a hunch. Sometimes it pays to play them, and sometimes it doesn't. But this whole thing is too perfect.
What do you mean, Sergeant?
Well, I have an idea. It might not work, but it's worth a try. Now, listen. How many people know where you were last night?
Why, no one. That is, except Mac. I was talking to him this morning. Why?
Good. Where were you?
Out of the cabin. I don't see what...
You will. Would you be willing to take a chance to prove Joe might have been murdered?
You don't...
I don't know. I told you this is just a hunch.
Oh, sure. But I don't know how you can prove it.
I'll tell you how. But first, I want to warn you that you may be risking your life.
Listen, Sergeant. Joe is my friend. I'll do whatever you say.
King and I'll stay as close to you as possible. But there'll still be danger.
What's your plan?
First, I want you to talk to Mac. Tell him what you're going to do, and he'll help you spread the story.
Yeah, that's right. I heard maybe Pete don't stand the chance he thinks he does.
Say, the Mountie's got something up his sleeve.
Wait till it comes out at the trial.
Well, we might see her hanging yet.
Listen, boss, there might not be anything to it.
Shut up. Might not be anything to it. You fool, of course there's something to it. Everybody in town would be talking about it if there wasn't.
Yeah, but I don't see how he could have...
That's the trouble with every one of you. Never say anything.
All right. Suppose Whitey did see you shoot him. It's the three of us again him, ain't it? That ought to be good enough for any court.
Well, it's like Pete said. He fleeced every miner on a jury. Whitey's been here a long time. Every one of them would like to see us hang, and all they need to do is hear his story.
I never looked at it.
Yeah, you never look beyond your own nose. Whitey was coming in the back way. Could have seen the whole thing.
Yeah, I guess it's too late to do anything about it now.
Too late to do anything about it. I'll hang for this if he talks, you hear me? Not you or Peter Bart, but me. He's not going to talk. I killed Merrill, and I'll kill him if I have to. Where's he staying?
Over in the back room at McDonald's store, as far as I know. Why?
We're going over there. Night.
That night, Whitey Burns sat playing a game of solitaire in the back of McDonald's store. Mac, as was his custom, was at the cafe. Through the window, Max Watkins and Sam could see Whitey hesitate, a card poised midair.
He's by himself, all right.
That's the way you wanted it, huh, boss?
Just wanted to be sure we don't have any audience this time. That dog.
I don't know. Just a stray, I guess.
Shut up, you mutt. Come on, Sam. Try this door here. If it's not open, we'll have to knock.
It's open.
Yeah, come on.
You, Mac?
No, it isn't, Mac, Whitey.
Max Watkins. What are you doing here?
Just came for a quiet talk, that's all. Sit down, Sam.
Yeah. What do you want to talk to me about?
No use wasting time. I'll come right to the point. How much is it worth you not to be at that trial tomorrow?
Oh, now I begin to see.
I told you I'm not here to waste time. How much do you want?
I don't need your money, Max. I've got plenty of dust in my claim. So if you came here to buy me off, you can forget it.
I mean business, Whitey. One way or the other, I'm making sure you won't be in Dolphin tomorrow. You can take your choice.
You figure if I'm not there to say Joe was murdered, Pete will be set free, huh?
That's right. I'm admitting right now I made a mistake. Shooting Joe without thinking of the window. But I won't make the same mistake twice.
Meaning
if you won't be sensible and see things the way I'm suggesting, Sam here will go outside. Just to make sure no one sees you getting the same thing Joe got when he was ready to talk out of turn.
You've been getting away with a lot ever since you set foot in Dolphin, Max. You've cheated every man that held a card in the cafe.
That's how I make my money.
Yeah? Well, your money's no good here, so you can get out. Now.
All right, Sam. Go on outside and make sure everything's clear. I got a gun in this pocket. Why do you covered?
Don't worry, boss. I'll make sure this time.
Stand where you are, Sam. You aren't going anywhere.
Preston!
Put up your hands, Max. You're covered.
Turn around, Max. You aren't hearing things. Preston's behind you, all right. Well, it looks like you don't believe it, Sergeant.
How'd you know we were here? How'd you get in?
I was here when you walked in, Max. I've been waiting for you, as a matter of fact. When King barked, I knew you were walking into our trap.
I got to hand it to you, Sergeant. I never thought they'd believe it.
Trap? Believe what?
Believe Whitey's story that he saw you kill Joe Merrill. When you heard the rumor, your conscience took care of the rest.
A double cross.
Yes, you might call it that. If you'd thought about it, Max, you could have easily looked for tracks at the window. If Whitey had seen you, his footprints would still be in the snow. But your guilt confused you. Well, you better open the door, Whitey. King wants to know if we need any more help, I guess.
Boy, I never saw a dog like him. How'd he know they were coming in here? Why, he was barking before they even got to the door.
Yes, King, the case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Welcome back. Okay, so that's going to be it for today. Check out the show notes site, otrwesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call me, leave me a voicemail, 707-98-OTR-DW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Tomorrow's going to be an episode of Have Gun, Will Travel. And we'll see you then. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.